open up to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. We will be starting here just very, very shortly. We'll be right back with you. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get ourselves started today. We're going to, as I mentioned, we're going to be over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 in our continuing study of the book of 2 Corinthians. So follow along with me as we pick up at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? That's such a great passage of scripture to think about. We'll be talking about that one here in just a moment. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, this is just an amazing passage of Scripture as we continue here over in the 2 Corinthians. You can see that the Apostle Paul begins this next section here with asking them a series of questions that fundamentally address the issue of who is it that they are really trusting for their authority. Who is it, whose opinion is it that the Corinthians are resting in and placing value? Who is it that they're giving credence to, and why? Whose credentials are they really exalting in and upholding? And you can see that the Apostle Paul, when moving into this next section here in 2 Corinthians, specifically chapter 3, this whole issue of commending ourselves, letters of commendation, things like that, that what the Apostle Paul is addressing here is that there were, once again, there were those at Corinth that basically, to put it maybe in a modern way, those at Corinth, some of the leaders at Corinth were simply saying that the Apostle Paul was not a graduate of their system. And therefore, why should they listen to the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul did not have a degree from their education system, from their university, from their schools. And therefore, he really wasn't worth listening to. That because he wasn't part of their school, part of their group, part of their clique, part of their education system, because he didn't have their degrees, their doctorate degrees, their graduate certificates and so forth, therefore, he really wasn't worth listening to. Now, when you look at verse 1 again, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? The passage is talking about this idea, the concept, the idea of a letter of commendation. Perhaps the way you and I would say it would be something like a letter of recommendation. And frankly, when you think about what a graduate degree is from various universities, that's all that graduate degree fundamentally is saying. It is saying that this graduate met all of the requirements that we placed upon him to get a degree from this university, from this seminary and so forth. And so the idea of this letter of commendation, there was this group at Corinth and all through the religious world, by the way, and what they wanted to do is that they wanted the Corinthians to listen to only listen to those that they commended or recommended. Now, notice something else here at verse 1. When he says, do we begin, notice, again to commend ourselves. Paul is saying, wait, do I have to go through all this issue again? It, you know, obviously, he's had to deal with this many times, and he's already dealt with this with the Corinthians. If you go back with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and you'll see how Paul has already had to address this issue and has quite efficiently dealt with the issue of his apostleship over in 1 Corinthians. Look over with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Watch verse 1 now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" You see how the Apostle Paul here is addressing the fact that there were those at Corinth that were not just questioning his apostolic authority, but just all out assaulting his apostolic authority. That it was not legitimate, that he had not seen the Lord, that he had no authority, that he was not one of the 12, therefore he was not as high authority as Peter and so forth. It's interesting, by the way, by their very accusation, you can see that they're separating him from the 12. And yet most people today want to make Paul one of the 12, okay? Paul doesn't need to be one of the 12 in order for him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He is the apostle of the Gentiles because God ordained him so, regardless of men's response to that. You can see here, he says, again, at chapter 9, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Christ Jesus the Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" The very series of questions that the Apostle Paul asked makes it pretty clear that they were attacking and questioning his apostolic authority. Paul says at verse 2 here, "If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." He says, now wait a minute, guys. You're doubting my apostolic authority. You're doubting the legitimacy of my message and the authenticity and the origin of that message. Well, how in the world did you get saved then? How did you get justified? Exactly what message was it that you believed that placed you into the living union with the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is it that told you that message? It's not those 10,000 instructors that you have that are teaching you man's wisdom. They're not the ones that taught you that message. He says, "The seal of mine apostleship are ye." You guys are the evidence of my unique apostleship. And there's just no denying it. Because if you deny it, then fundamentally you deny your own justification. If you deny mine apostleship, you deny your identification into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If you deny my apostleship, you deny your very participation in the church, the body of Christ, of which ye are all members. You see how he says that? He says, "The seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." And then notice what he says at verse 3. He says, "Mine answer to them that examine me is this." The idea in that verse about them that examine me, it's like taking a criminal and putting them under the bright, you know, shining spotlights in a sweaty hot room and just interrogating him. Well, these guys at Corinth were just interrogating the Apostle Paul, bringing every aspect of his ministry into question and into doubt, and subjecting him to all kinds of ridicule and shame. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, the bottom line, guys, you can attack me, you can attack my apostleship, but the bottom line is you guys still got justified. You're in the body of Christ, and how exactly did that happen if my apostleship is invalid? If my apostleship is false, how exactly did you guys get saved? And the Apostle Paul goes on and addresses some other issues. We're not going to go back here verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 9. If you want to study through 1 Corinthians 9 and understand Paul's extensive answer to this attack on his apostleship, that is on our website when we, and it's in the collection that we did over on 1 Corinthians. Turn back with me then, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now. Look back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. So when he says here at chapter 3, verse 1, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves?" It's like he's saying, guys, do we have to go through all this again? You can kind of sense, how can I say it, perhaps perhaps a little bit of frustration on his part. Like, guys, you know, there's so many other things I need to teach you. Do we have to go through all this again, kind of a thing? And of course, he does go through it again, and he demonstrates to them that the evidence of his apostleship and what validates his apostleship, frankly, is the fact that they got saved. I mean, how do you argue with that? You know, what exactly, you know, how do you argue with that? If they're going to deny his apostleship, they have to deny their own justification. All right? So he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Watch this. Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Now, once again, that idea of these letters of commendation, it's like a letter of recommendation. This group would recommend this person to, say, another group. This religious body would recommend this preacher to a local assembly and so forth, and they would send a letter of recommendation. That would be a graduate degree is what that would be. Hey, here's the letter. We can recommend this guy because it concluded our graduate program and so forth. That's exactly what this concept is here, friends. All right? And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I didn't go to their schools. I didn't go to their seminaries. I didn't attend their education systems. That's not the authority by which I'm coming and bringing the message to you. And that's not the basis upon which you should decide who you're going to listen to. You need to decide who you're going to listen to based upon who God commends. That's whose letter of recommendation you ought to listen to. Okay? Now, let's trace this idea out here a little bit as we proceed here. In 2 Corinthians, and we'll get the big picture of how Paul uses this word commendation and commending and so forth. Let's run a couple of references here. First of all, go to chapter 5. You'll see how Paul kind of brings this up again. Look over to chapter 5, verse 12. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5:12. He says this: for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You see, in that verse, the sense of commending not ourselves, that's the idea, an opportunity to uphold someone's ministry, an opportunity to uphold someone's preaching and teaching. And Paul says, hey, we commend not ourselves again unto you. I don't have to sit here and uphold my apostleship and authority to you. Instead, I'm giving you guys, you Corinthians, an opportunity to uphold our ministry to those that are opposing our ministry. I'm giving you Corinthians an opportunity to uphold, to put forward, to stand in, to preach, to proclaim, to demonstrate, to hold forth our ministry to those that would attack our ministry, those that glory in appearance and not in heart. See how he uses that word there? He says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. I'm not going to have to go through all this again, but I'm giving you guys the opportunity to glory on our behalf, that is, to uphold our ministry, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Okay? See the sense there? Look at the next one here. This is over in chapter number 10. Look over to chapter number 10 with me, if you would. Now watch verse 12. This is a real interesting one here. This one really kind of gets right to the heart of the issue. Look over to chapter 10, verse 12. Paul says, verse 12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's an amazing verse. Whoa. Paul just really kind of nails it on the head, nails it right in the point here when he says, number one, they that compare themselves by themselves, you know, they're not wise. There's absolutely no wisdom in comparing ourselves among ourselves. You know, there are two fundamental problems with that. Actually, there's a lot more than two, but there are at least a couple of fundamental problems with comparing ourselves among ourselves. Number one, is that we are always going to see ourselves as either better than somebody else in the group or worse than someone else in the group. Number two, and this is the bigger problem, listen friends, we are not the standard. That's the bigger issue. You and I, we are not the standard. Our group is not the standard. God is the standard. You understand that? His word is the standard. His truth is the standard. And this verse right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, this is such a powerful and simple verse. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves." See, they set themselves up as the standard. And if you don't measure up to themselves, their standard, that's themselves, if you don't measure a letter of commendation, but if you measure up to their standard, if you do it degree, then that is their letter of commendation. See, he says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, Paul says, that's not wise at all, because it's a false standard, friends. It's a false basis upon which to decide whether or not you should listen. Just because somebody shows up with a degree from a particular university or a particular school or a particular seminary and so forth, that doesn't mean he's going to be preaching you to the truth. That doesn't mean he knows a thing about the Word of God divided in the grace message. That doesn't, just because he has a piece of paper, that's not how you decide. Understand that? And Paul says, man, I absolutely refuse to join their club. I am not going to be a part of what they're doing. He says in verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." He says, I'm not going to go join their religious system. I'm not going to go to their school. I'm not going to go and seek to get their degree. I'm not going to go and seek to get their pat on the back. I'm not going to go and seek to get their condemnation. I'm not going to go and seek to get a doctorate degree from their program. That, friends, that's what religion is all about. Religion seeking control over the heart and minds of and people. They establish all these various religious schools and so forth, and they want to promote their teaching, their doctrine, and so forth. And then they want to build their religious systems, and they have their graduates from their systems with their graduate degrees, i.e., that's their letter of commendation. And they say, now we think you should listen to this guy. He's going to come and be the preacher at your group and so forth. Paul says, I'm not joining their group. He says, if that's the standard and the basis upon which you are deciding who's going to preach the truth, he says, you know what? You are not wise. Period. Look how he says that there. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. If they're not wise in their system for coming up with letters of commendation and who you ought to listen to, then friends, you and I are not wise to let them do that and to follow who they commend and to listen to who they recommend. You see that? We would fall into the same trap. See that? In this same chapter, look how Paul answers this issue. That you're over in 2 Corinthians 10:18. Look how Paul really gives us the answer right here. He says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Now there's the key. That's the answer right there. Just because a guy shows up with a doctorate degree from this university or that school or this seminary or whatever, he says, you know, that's not how to decide whether or not you ought to listen to the guy or sit under his ministry. He says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, now, but whom the Lord commendeth." That's who you ought to listen to. We ought to be listening to whom the Lord commendeth. That's who we ought to be listening to. And who is it that the Lord commendeth? The Lord commended the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of the Gentiles. That's who you ought to be listening to. Not these 10,000 instructors, he's saying to the Corinthians. Remember back over in chapter, in 1 Corinthians 4, remember Paul says, though you have 10,000 instructors, yet I have begotten you through the gospel. He says, guys, you're listening to the wrong people here. So if you'll turn now with me over to chapter 12, verse 11, you'll see him, Paul, saying this again, this similar idea here. All the way through 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses this issue. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 11. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. He's chiding the Corinthians because he's saying, guys, you know what? When the opportunity presented itself for you to stand up and evaluate my apostleship and ministry, you guys should have by faith stood up for that. You guys should have commended this ministry instead of belittling this ministry. Instead of abandoning this ministry, making light of it and walking away from it, you guys should have commended this ministry, Paul says here. Isn't that incredible how Paul, he's talking about his ministry and his apostleship, he says at verse 11, and I am become the fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. You guys should have stood up for my apostleship instead of abandoning it. And especially instead of abandoning it to go to human wisdom, human viewpoint, and those 10,000 instructors that were teaching you, that they weren't teaching you the truth. So if you'll turn back with me now over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, take those verses in mind here, and you can see that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He's saying at chapter 3, verse 1, he says, guys, do we have to go through all this again? And he's saying it not in the sense that he's not going to go through all of it again. He's going to go on and tell them that, listen, guys, you guys are the evidence of my apostleship. And you guys are the evidence that the Spirit of Almighty God is active and working through my apostleship. Otherwise, how did you guys get justified? He says at verse 1 again, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, see how he's kind of mocking those others that do need these letters of commendation? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Do I need their group to write me a letter of recommendation, to give me a graduate degree, and then I bring it to you, Corinthians, and say, now would you consider me as a candidate to preach you the Word of God? Or am I coming to you, Corinthians, and asking you guys for a letter of recommendation so as I continue to go out to the Gentiles, then I can ask the Gentiles, hey, Gentiles, were you listening to me? Will you listen to me because the Corinthians have said you should? He said, no, guys, that's utter nonsense. That's not why the Gentiles should be listening to the Apostle Paul. That's not why the church should be listening to the Apostle Paul. The church should be listening to the Apostle Paul for the very reason that we read just a moment ago, back over in chapter 10, verse 18, when he said, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. If God commends the Apostle Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, then that's who the Gentiles ought to be listening to. Go with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans in chapter number 1. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter number 1 at verse 5. Paul says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. As far as God is concerned, all nations are to give faith obedience to the message of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. God Himself has written a letter of recommendation, a letter of commendation to the Gentiles. I suppose you could say letters, because that's the books of Romans through Philemon. That's God's letters of recommendation, letters of commendation to the Gentiles, as far as why the Gentiles, why the church, the Gentiles as a whole, and then those who trust Christ, that is the church, the body of Christ, why they ought to be listening to the Apostle Paul. Look over to chapter 11 of Romans. You know these verses. Look over to Romans chapter number 11, verse 11. Romans 11:11 says this, I say then, I'll make it verse 13 just for time's sake here, because we've got some other things we want to look at. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. God the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, right here, demonstrates very clearly that the Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians and chapter number 1 here. Look at Galatians chapter number 1. Once again, just demonstrating in Paul's epistles that this is God's letter or letters of commendation that we ought to be listening to is the one who God commendeth. And that's the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. Galatians 1:1. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. See that there? The apostleship of the apostle Paul is from God the Father and Jesus Christ who raised him from the dead. Stay in the same book at verse 11. Same chapter, chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but how? But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the one who taught the Apostle Paul this message and sent the Apostle Paul out among the Gentiles with this message. See that there? Now, if you'll turn back with me over to 2 Corinthians 3. Again, let's continue in our study here. We're over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 at verse 1. Let's move on now. We spent most of our time here in verse 1. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we ask some others epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? So we've gone through all that, and Paul says this now. He says, guys, listen. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That is incredible how the Apostle Paul says that. He says, guys, the epistle, the letter of commendation that evidences my apostleship, you know who or what it is? He says, it's you guys. He says, ye are our epistle. You guys are the evidence of my apostleship. You guys are my credentials. And in saying that, again, it's like he's asking them a couple of questions. He's saying, well, listen, guys, if you guys are going to continue to question and attack my apostleship and the message I'm proclaiming, don't you understand that you are questioning and attacking the very message by which you got justified? If you guys are seeking to invalidate my apostleship and message, then that also invalidates the message that you believed in order to get justified. How did you guys get saved? How did you get justified? How did you get baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? How did you get placed into the church, the body of Christ? Don't you understand that it was the result of believing the message I preached to you? And so if my apostleship is false, then my message is false. And if my message is false, then you guys aren't even saved. You guys, then this whole concept of the church, the body of Christ, is false. It's invalid. But he says, guys, you guys are the evidence. You guys are my letter of commendation. Now, one thing to me that is real, real kind of interesting about that, in fact, look how Paul says it at verse 2. He says, ye are our epistle. And then he says, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Let me say it this way. If you're seeking a letter of recommendation from someone to someone. Let me use an illustration here, okay? So I can try to make my point here. Let's say that you were in the finance business, some kind of investing in the stock market or whatever, some kind of finance business. And let's just say that your company was going out of business. And so you went in and asked your boss, you know, hey boss, can you give me a letter of recommendation so that when I go out and apply for a new job, then you know, at least I can get my foot in the door and the letter of recommendation will get me a wonderful letter of recommendation. You know, you increase 5%.